You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You worked all week.
Work.
You didn't have time to look at your fantasy lineups.
Son of a b-.
But don't be afraid.
That's why we give you Weekend Fantasy Update.
Woohoo!
Here are your hosts, Joe Galina, Frank Stampfl, and Mike Florio.
Welcome to Weekend Fantasy Update on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Joe Galina, and I'm joined by my buddy, Michael F. Florio. What's going on, Michael F.?
What up, Joey?
What's happening?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great. Week 8 in the NFL?
It's flying by.
It really is. Six teams on a bye this week, another six next week.
Bye week hell, as we like to call it.
One of my lineups, I think I had about four or five guys that I needed to replace. Did you have a lot of issues like that? Or
I'm stuck in a couple of leagues. I'm owner of Todd Gurley in a few leagues. Mm-hmm. In one league, I have to start Matt Stafford at QB because I missed out on like Dalton and Tyrod.
Right.
So yeah, it's not ideal lineups this week. I'm starting Tevin Coleman in one league. Mm-hmm. Like, far from ideal.
Well, if you out there are having problems setting up your lineup, you could give us a call, 844-843-6879. You could reach out to us at FNTSY Radio. We'll be talking week 8 in the NFL, trying to figure out who to start in your fantasy football lineups. We also have a special guest coming up in the second hour, Dave Burkett. He covers the Detroit Lions for the Detroit Free Press. Lions are playing the Steelers this week, right? Tough matchup for them. Yeah, I mean, Steelers have kind of been like a whirlwind of a team. I mean, their defense really has been amazing, but they've been in the news for some not so good reasons, I guess, rather for lack of describing it better. But Martavis Bryant now.
It makes me sad about Martavis, but in good news, Juju found his bike.
Did he?
He found his bike because of Twitter. It was a pretty awesome story.
They reported that on the sportsgrid.com, right?
Yeah. He's a funny guy, man. Mm-hmm. He's the big winner this week. Like, Martavis Bryant, I feel like, went full heel.
Mm-hmm.
And Juju is like the big new face of the Steelers now.
Right.
Like, wrestling terms.
Right. Gotcha. But Bryant, basically, they relegated him to, what, the practice team? Or
sadly, hashtag free Martavis. Yeah. I've been pumping that out. I think this kid has all the talent in the world, but he's obviously in a situation that it isn't right for him. He needs a new team. I think he will be on a new team next year.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of hoping they would trade him midseason, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
We'll be talking about that matchup more later, but Steelers really have been running Le'Veon Bell into the ground the past couple weeks, you know, 30-plus carries.
And that's going to be their plan. We knew it. I mean, he's on a one-year deal. I wouldn't be surprised if they just franchise him again after this year. They're going to run him into the ground, and then they're going to move on. He's out there, like, I know last year it was over 90% of the snaps he played while he was out, while he was active.
Mm-hmm.
And this year it looks like that trend is going to continue.
But just overall, I mean, Steelers have been successful, but they've had a lot of issues, you know, with Big Ben and all. But
yep.
The defense has been incredible, especially against the pass. We'll be back with more on Week 8 in Fantasy Football on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network Weekend Fantasy Update.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network Weekend Fantasy Update. Joe Galina, Mike Florio, Pete Cusador producing our show. Journey gets back into it. Don't forget, in the second hour of our show, Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press. He covers the Lions, and you can follow him on Twitter at Dave BIRKETT. That's at Dave Burkett. You could follow me at Joe Galina. You could follow Mike at Michael F. Florio. And we mentioned six teams on a bye this week. We've got the Cardinals, the Giants, the Jaguars, Packers, Rams, and Titans. Last week we got off to a great start for the Thursday night game. You had the Raiders and the Chiefs. Awesome game. Sunday games were kind of meh.
Yeah, a lot of low scoring.
Three shutouts, right? And week eight started off with another shutout.
We had a classic this Thursday night.
Classic bust.
Oh, yeah. It was one of the worst. I watched the entire game, sad to say. Mm-hmm. And at the end, I was just like, this game sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, I was honestly watching because I had Kenny Stills in the league, and I was just hoping he got a garbage time touchdown.
Right.
Wasn't meant to be, but
he had a solid game considering that his team didn't score any points.
And yeah, and a half
Moore
point.
Matt Moore looked terrible. I kind of thought going into this week that Matt Moore might have taken the job away from Cutler. You know,
you were certainly not alone on that.
Yeah. In a couple weeks, I thought that maybe he'd play well enough because Cutler has been playing poorly.
Oh
to
yeah,
say the least.
But like Matt Moore had a terrible game,
mm-hmm.
Not to give him a pass or anything. It was against the Ravens secondary, who are one of the best in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense is really rounding into form. This is their second shutout of the year. And additionally, Jay Cutler, I mean, their offense was already one of, if not the worst in the league,
mm-hmm.
with him at the helm. So they have no rushing touchdowns this year. It's not looking pretty for the
Adam
Dolphins.
Gase, head coach of the Dolphins, really throw Jay Ajayi under the bus? I mean, look, let's face it. Ajayi has been one of the busts of the year. Some of it has to do with him, but that offensive line, he was getting tackled before the line of scrimmage. I mean, there was just, he had no chance.
Yeah. what Adam Gase said, though, about not trying to hit the home run every single play,
right.
I don't necessarily think he's wrong, because if you remember last year, Jay Ajayi, this was a stat that, I mean, I was not alone in stating this, but it was very well known.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was over 20%, I think it was 22% maybe, of his total yards last year came on six or seven carries. And mm-hmm. then I remember 57% of his carries went for three or less yards. So
right.
He really was last year just like a big play threat. Besides that, you know, he'd grind out short yards, and then, 65-yard run or whatever it would
right.
be. So that, I mean, Jay Ajayi does need to fix that issue.
Yeah, but what is he supposed to do if he has an opportunity to have a 30 or 40-yard run, not take it?
No.
I mean, just not go for the full swing every time? I don't know.
I don't know either.
To say.
But I did say yesterday, me and Greg Sussman made a video, and we were talking about players we were scared of.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought up Jay Ajayi, and I said the worry meter would be at like a 5 or a 6 mm-hmm. because the production isn't there.
Right.
But then again, before this past week, he's had 23, 26, 25 carries.
Yeah.
You would kill
so this volume.
To get a yeah. running back have that sort of volume. Even though if the stats aren't great,
mm-hmm.
at least we know he is the unquestioned number one running back on this team.
Right, and the time to have put him on the trade block was right after the 130-yard
yes.
game, right?
And let's not put this past Adam Gase. He did this last year where he came out and he said something crazy. I forget what exactly he said, but then he like cut three of his offensive linemen or whatever, and they went on that crazy run.
Right.
So he's obviously a coach who tries to motivate his players by mm-hmm. doing some stuff that we may view as like outlandish or something like
that. On paper, they have some talent. I mean, Ajayi, I know we talk about that he was kind of almost like boom or bust last year, that the three 200-plus rushing yard games, of course. But, you know, Devontae Parker's been hurt, and he's a kind of a boom kind of guy, right? And Kenny Stills could get it done, too. So on paper, they have some talent.
Yeah, they certainly do.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense has played great this
right.
year. But, I mean, despite this horrible game, they're still 4-3. I mean, they're still obviously...
They have won despite the lack of offense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and if it means anything at all, the fact that they're still in the hunt for a playoff spot, they're not going to... Like, if you're a Jay Ajayi owner, I don't think the comments the other day should scare you too much, because they're obviously going to continue to force-feed him the ball. They
mm-hmm.
know that to win games, they have to limit the amount of times either Matt Moore or Jay Cutler is throwing.
So what do you think on the other side of the ball? Alex Collins had a really big day. Do you think going forward that he's going to be the primary back with Buck Allen taking a back seat, being a pass-catching back? I mean, and don't forget, I think by week 11 also you've got possibility of Danny Woodhead coming back. How do you think that that backfield shapes up?
I think it's going to be a murky situation. Alex Collins looked great the other day.
Right.
Like, he honestly, I don't know why he can run so well. They just get inside the red zone and they just pull him out for Buck Allen. Maybe that changes because Buck Allen fumbled on the 2-yard line. I know Moore ended up recovering it for a touchdown, but if Buck Allen is having issues now holding onto the ball, maybe that changes. Danny Woodhead, when he ultimately, if he ultimately comes back, I mean, he'll probably step into a role that we expected early on, but Buck Allen has played well as well. So I really don't want anything to do with one of these Baltimore running backs.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've been a run first team so far this season, right? So, I mean, if there would just be one back that would stand out going forward, and who knows, it could be Collins.
Yeah. It certainly could be. I mean, he has looked the best of all their running backs so far this year.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be getting up early tomorrow? Big game?
Yeah. Greg Sussman and Frank Stanfels have already told me they will not be waking up to watch this game. I'll be watching.
There you go. Vikings versus Browns in London.
It should be a slaughter.
It should be on paper, right?
Yeah. The Browns are terrible.
Well, I mean, their defense has played a lot better this
and
year.
And they're tough against the run.
Mm-hmm. Very tough. I think 3 yards per carry, which ties them with the Broncos for that, for giving up just 3 yards per carry. But getting off to another 0-7 start, Myles Garrett is going to be out, so that's got to hurt a little bit as well.
Oh, definitely. That'll really hurt. The Browns, when they have Kaiser at the quarterback, as their starting quarterback, it's Duke Johnson, and you can't trust anyone else. That's really what it is. I mean, Isaiah Crowell has not played well with Kaiser there. And even if they get near the goal line, we've seen it multiple occasions this year. Kaiser is going to run those in.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to hand the ball off to Crowell. At least we haven't seen it so far. So, yeah, I really think with Kaiser at the helm, it's Duke Johnson or bust. Like, you can't trust any other Browns.
Kind of agree with you on that. Really can't argue with you. On the Viking side, is Case Keenum a guy that you might stream this week?
Ideally, no. I have him as a low-end QB2. I think they're going to probably get out to a commanding lead and try to rely on the back of Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the weapons. I don't really want Case Keenum,
mm-hmm.
but I like Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, he's.
I like Adam Thielen.
He practiced Thursday, Friday. He should play, right?
Yeah, he took the trip. I don't see him taking the trip and not playing.
Mm-hmm. And Kyle Rudolph, who's been somewhat disappointing, but has averaged over 8 targets and 5 catches over the past 3 weeks. So he's coming on. Just like last season, he kind of came on in the second half.
I actually downgraded him a bit, though, this week because he is the top target whenever Stephon Diggs sits. He averages, like, just over 9 targets per game when no Stephon Diggs there. We've seen when Diggs is active, Rudolph's role is kind of in flux because there are some games where he'll still see his targets, but there's other games where he won't. And Adam Thielen, though, it doesn't matter for him if Diggs is active or not. He is, I truly think, the most consistent player in football.
Mm-hmm.
He's had 5 or more receptions in every single game. That is an extremely high PPR floor.
And still fairly underrated as well, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, we all know his name. I'm sure most people who play fantasy football know his name. But still, I don't think he gets the respect that he probably earned at this point.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, if you're giving me a floor in PPR of like 5 catches for even 40 or 50 yards, that's a floor. You know, I'm throwing Adam Thielen in my lineup. I'm going to walk away with at least 9 or 10 points in a PPR with the upside for a whole lot more. I mean, we've seen him flash his upside. He had a 200-yard game last year. He can, you know, find the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
So every week, just knowing that you're getting a minimum of that with the upside for more, I think he has to be in your lineup.
Good point about Kyle Rudolph, but just keep in mind Browns given up the most receptions to tight ends and second most fantasy points per game to tight ends. You mentioned the running game. Do you have a preference this week between Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon in terms of the game script? Do you think one would do better than the other this week?
I think both of these guys' touches are guaranteed, because even before last week, like, Latavius Murray had a fantastic game the other day, but even before that, he was still seeing the ball 15 times a game, mm-hmm. and Jerick McKinnon was as well. Like, they both have their role. It's just a matter of if Latavius Murray is going to run efficiently against the Browns. Like you said, 3 yards per carry, I worry about that. I prefer Jerick McKinnon, especially in PPR.
There you go. All right. When we come back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we're going to go over the Chargers at Patriots matchup. Chargers facing a Patriots team giving up the most passing yards per game. We'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Welcome back to Weekend Fantasy Update on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Joe Galina here with Mike Flores. He's actually bopping his head.
Yeah,
you never really see
I like
Mike move.
Song.
You know, when Frank is with us, he's always dancing around and bopping around in his chair.
But, I can't dance like Frank.
You know, have you ever tried? Have you really ever tried?
I'm not a dancer. It's
you
not
never
my
know.
Thing.
You never know what's inside of you. why don't you try now? Now, at the commercial, I want you to give it a little whirl.
All right.
That was we were talking about the Thursday night matchup, and it was interesting to find out that Alex Collins is a big Irish step dancer. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's I mean, he step danced all over the Dolphins,
yeah.
But who knew? Like,
yeah. It was pretty cool because I think he was dancing with a kid who was bullied, you know, because he liked Irish step dancing. So I guess Collins might have heard about it, and they Irish step danced together.
I'm Irish. I don't know how to step dance, but...
Maybe you could try. Maybe you could join Alex Collins, and I won't bully you. I won't judge you either if you try.
That's what Joey says, and then one day...
All of a sudden, a video of Mike Florio Irish step dancing appears on Twitter.
Yeah, probably. You never know with this guy.
So, we're talking Week 8 fantasy football, but before we do, I just want to get your opinion real quick, because, you know, baseball's still going on, World Series, right? My Yankees, and I say my Yankees, decided not to renew the contract of Joe Girardi, which I was shocked, really. I mean, coming into the season, I figured that, and I think along with a lot of people, that this was a rebuilding year, maybe 80 wins, 82 wins at best. You know, they exceeded that, basically one game away from the World Series. And I thought that merited at least, you know, maybe a, you want to give him, maybe you don't want to sign him for 5 years. Maybe you could sign him for a year with an option if Joe would take it, Joe Girardi. But it seems like there was a power struggle there with Brian Cashman wanting more control over things of like putting a lineup together. I don't know. What'd you think about that? Were you surprised when Joe Girardi?
I think it's a mistake.
Yeah, I think it's a big mistake. It's not easy to handle the New York media on a daily basis.
Ask Terry Collins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, Girardi, I mean, like you said, greatly exceeded expectations this year. Never had a losing record with the Yankees.
Right.
200 games over 500 as their mm-hmm. manager. I mean, what more did you want out of this guy?
And some of the other reasons that were brought up as to why, you know, his contract wasn't renewed was because, you know, he was, it almost sounded like, and I'm paraphrasing, that he was too tough of a manager, that he was too intense. You know, like there were some players that didn't like him. But, you know, I think back to Tom Coughlin, a former head coach of the New York Football Giants, right? When he first got there, you know, he wasn't very popular in that locker room. You know, he would call a meeting, and if you weren't like 10 minutes early for the meeting, he'd consider you late. But then eventually he kind of, you know, calmed down a little bit. You know, he adjusted. Maybe if Girardi, maybe if Cashman talked to Girardi and said, hey, look, you know, maybe we sign you to a shorter contract, but you kind of change your style a little bit. Just, you know, don't be so intense. Try to be more of a player's manager. Maybe they could have handled it this way. But I still think that this was a strong arm tactic by Brian Cashman.
Yeah, I agree. I get it. I think he wants to be more analytical, which obviously I'm a big fan of. Mm-hmm. I buy into all these.
We fancy people. Yeah, sure. We use sabermetrics and all that jazz.
But Girardi was getting the job done. Mm-hmm. I mean, I said this off the air the other day to Dane Martinez. I don't think baseball managers matter in most senses, most cases, mm-hmm. but the good ones make a difference. Mm-hmm. And I think Joe Girardi was one of those few that made a difference. And the biggest thing about being a baseball manager is you have to know how to manage the bullpen in game.
Right.
And that's really the only hard decisions they have to make during games. And Girardi did a great job of that, in mm-hmm. my opinion.
Yep. So, yeah, I think it's a mistake. I think it sounds like you kind of agree.
Yep.
But what do you think about the Mets manager? Happy with that?
Oh, I'm very happy. Mm-hmm. I'm happy they didn't sign a retread,
mm-hmm.
you know, a guy who got fired, someone like
no
that.
No, Dusty Baker.
Yeah, oh, no. I think the Yankees are going to sign Dusty Baker. I'm happy. It's young, exciting, a guy who believes in the numbers and has done wonders with every pitching. He turned the Indians staff around. I know they have a lot of talent, but he completely turned them around, so I'm excited with that hire.
Good. Okay. Good luck to you. Yankees.
You as well.
Still in more games than the Mets this year anyway. back to football. Chargers at Patriots. So Patriots have given up the most passing yards per game, 310. I think the defense has played a little bit better, but Dont'a Hightower, done for the year. You think that makes a big difference to them? I mean,
I think it hurts.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't help, right?
No.
If your defense is playing bad and one of your stars goes down for the year, I guess it's not going to
help. I mean, Joey, what's your take on this? They've allowed over 300 passing yards every game except for last week against the Falcons.
Right.
I don't think that's a testament to the Patriots' defense. I think that's a bad omen for the Falcons' offense.
Oh, yeah. 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 We're going to get to the Falcons' game, but, yeah, what the heck is going on with the Falcons? I mean, do you blame it on new offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian?
I do.
Ryan, now this is the second new offensive coordinator in recent history that he's had problems adjusting to, even though the Falcons had said they weren't going to change much here.
Well, they're clearly wrong. Who did they lose from last year to this year on offense? They brought everyone back, all their weapons. They still have Matt Ryan at quarterback. They mm-hmm. still have Freeman and Coleman in the backfield. Still have Julio Jones and Sanu and mm-hmm. Austin Hooper and
Taylor Gabriel.
Mm-hmm. And they're getting nothing out of these guys. Mm-hmm. Julio Jones has one touchdown on the year. He caught it in garbage time. Mm-hmm. Freeman is the one Falcons player who I feel like has not been a big disappointment this year. Tevin Coleman is still getting his in PPR,
mm-hmm.
but he's not doing what he was doing last year.
Right.
Taylor Gabriel has been lost
Tony
completely.
Tony has said that Coleman, it would be very, very difficult for him to recreate the number of touchdowns per games, per snaps, per per play that he was generating last year, and he was absolutely right.
Yeah, and the touchdowns, too, are going to be way too hard, I think, for Coleman to, especially since he doesn't get the ball in the red zone. That's Devontae Freeman's role.
Mm-hmm.
So I did think, I was with Tony, I thought Coleman was not going to live up to what he did last mm-hmm. year, but every single player in this offense, especially Matt Ryan, has taken a step back.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told it was going to be the same system, just with more Julio Jones in the red zone. That could not have been more of a lie.
Right. So the Patriots, like I said, doing poorly against the passing game. Fifth most fantasy points per game to running backs as well.
Yeah, they're just, they get torched all over.
Second most receptions to running backs. And I guess that's good for Melvin Gordon, Chargers running back, who's had four games of at least five receptions or more. And that's been a big part of his game this year as well.
He is, in PPR, mm-hmm. he is still a legit high-end wide receiver. Running back one behind the likes of like a Mark Ingram. In the same group, I would say, as like a Shady McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
But his numbers do take a hit in standard because he, like you said, four games, five or more receptions. He has one game with nine catches this year.
Mm-hmm.
That obviously is going to help your value immensely in the PPR format.
So we talked about the problems with the Patriots' passing defense, but the Chargers, Dontrell Inman, is that going to help them out at all? I mean, their passing game has been, I guess, a little suspect, right? I mean, other than Keenan Allen, it has been, he's been pretty consistent overall.
He's struggled the last couple of games, mm-hmm. but, I mean, I give him a pass, like, for last week. They went up early. It was against the no-fly zone mm-hmm. in Denver. I think Keenan Allen has a big game this week. I have him as a top 10 wide receiver in both formats.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrell Williams, I kind of said it's a line in the sand game for him because I've dropped him in a couple leagues already. I think this week, with all the teams on bye, mm-hmm. with the fact that it's against New England, it's enough to put him in the flex or even low-end wide receiver three discussion. But if he doesn't do it this week, if he comes out and puts up another dud, he hasn't been seeing the targets as of late.
He's going to hear from you.
You got to drop him then. Mm-hmm. Like, if he doesn't do it this week, there's no reason to own him.
You think Inman has an impact this week or too soon? I mean, I know he's been dealing with the hamstring issue. Well, actually, no, they traded away.
Yeah, they traded him.
That's right. Sorry about that, guys.
No. That's why I was going to say, I don't think he's going to make an impact this week on the Bears. Mm-hmm. I think that it may take some time, but ultimately, that if anyone could step up for the Bears at wide receiver, mm-hmm. it's going to help. So maybe Inman is someone in a couple of weeks. I mean, there's still some really bad bye weeks ahead.
Right.
Maybe there he could have an impact.
All right. Austin Eckler. Any love for him? I mean, 7 for 38 last week, 4 catches, 6 yards and a touchdown. I mean, classic PPR scoring format.
Gotcha.
Double-digit scoring.
He's been better as of late, but I still think he's nothing more than a desperation mm-hmm. throw a dart at the board. Because, yeah, like last week he had 4 catches, but the week before that, 1. Then he's had a game with 3, with 2, with 1. It's, mm-hmm. it's a lot. I mean, obviously, Melvin Gordon is their first option there. Eckler is a handcuff. I think he's a handcuff I want to own,
mm-hmm.
but I would not want him in my starting lineup this week.
How about the Patriots running game? Deion Lewis lately has been coming on, and Gillislee has been fading. Do you think that continues?
Yes, I'm done with Mike Gillislee. Mike mm-hmm. Gillislee had one good game week one, and since then he hasn't had more than one carry in any game inside the 5-yard line. So that when they get close to the goal line, they're mixing it up. They're not just using Mike Gillislee. Deion Lewis, I truly think, I've been saying it all week, if we want to call any running back the favorite of Bill Belichick, I think it has to be Deion Lewis. He's made the change this year. 2 years ago when Deion Lewis was healthy, he was on the field all the time. I think James White, though, in PPR is the most reliable of all these backs.
Yeah. Before October 1st, Deion Lewis, 1 red zone carry and Gillislee 14. After that, Lewis has 7 and Gillislee has 6, so the tide has turned. Tide has also turned when it comes to tight ends with the Chargers. Looks like it's Hunter Henry at this stage, right?
Yep.
Averaging over 7 targets and 4 catches per game over the past 3 weeks. And he could have a good week. Patriots are giving up 7th most fantasy points per game to tight ends.
I have him as a top 5 tight end this week.
There you go. All right. When we come back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network Weekend Fantasy Update, Bears at Saints. Mitch Trubisky, 7 pass attempts last week. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Weekend Fantasy Update on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Joe Galina. I'm here with my friend Mike Florio. Talking about Week 8 in Fantasy Football, 6 teams on a bye. And if you need help getting your lineup together, figuring out who to start, who to sit, maybe you're looking at the waiver wire. And I'll tell you, we and everyone else in the industry has done a real good job of helping out the people that we're playing with in leagues because, man, the waiver wire is kind of bare.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting ugly.
Yeah.
I will
Even
say...
Even before this, it was tough to find a good quarterback at this stage and just not much out there.
it speaks volumes to the knowledge of the players.
It's you. You're helping people too much. You're helping people to the point where it hurts me.
I will say this, though. There's two names I think that you should search your waiver wire for, and they're not no one that is going to help you.
Search your heart, because you'll find it there.
I don't know. They're no one that's going to help you this week. They're both players on bye. But Corey Davis, I would add him anywhere. I've actually added him anywhere, any league that I'm in, that he is available. Mm-hmm. But only owned in 40% of CBS sports leagues. So in 3 out of 5 leagues, he's still out there. So I would add him right away. He has the ability to potentially push you to a late playoff push. We see it every year. There's always a late season pickup. Mm-hmm. And then you hear the stats like 75% of teams in the championship picked up this player. And
right.
This year, that player could be Corey Davis. Very well could be. He is game-breaking talent. And the second player, not to the same extent as Corey Davis, but if you're maybe in a little bit of a deeper league or you have a roster spot, D.D. Westbrook.
Yeah.
He's eligible to return next week.
Yep.
It looks like he's going to. Alan Hearns and Marquise Lee, while they're okay players, they've been inconsistent. Neither one of them have really taken a stranglehold on the starting wide receiver job. D.D. Westbrook, even before the Allen Robinson injury, was their best option, their best receiver in preseason.
Yep.
So
had
this
some
is
great
a kid.
College numbers as well.
Mm-hmm. He was valued as like an early round pick, and like second or third round value, if not higher, I believe, before his off the field incidents has led to him falling in the NFL draft. I mean, he's not a good guy, but he is a good player. And I think the Jaguars are going to give him every opportunity to try and succeed, give him some opportunities out there on the field. Maybe he can overtake Lee or Hearns as the number one option there. So I think if you have a bench spot, add him now while you can add him for $0 rather than wait a week or two when you have to start using like your top waiver claims or a lot of your fab to get him.
Absolutely. And Corey Davis, another guy who put up phenomenal numbers in college. Week 1, 10 targets, 6 catches for 69 yards. Has been dealing with a hamstring issue, but definitely someone that you could look to pick up and stash and could have impact going forward. And
he's a player. He was the first wide receiver taken this year. The Titans used an extremely high draft pick on him. And our Jake Seeley over at rotoexperts.com has compared him to Terrell Owens.
Wow.
So that's extremely
and
high
Jake
praise.
Jake knows his stuff, so coming from him.
That's extremely high praise. So shout out to Jake. He's been on Corey Davis since before the NFL draft. And, I mean, the only concern we heard with Corey Davis coming out, he's super polished. He just has injury concerns, and we've seen that so far. And maybe you could add him, and he gets hurt again, and you get nothing out of him.
Mm-hmm.
But the chance that he could break out and really lead you on a late-season push
big upside.
Is worth adding right now.
Big upside. So if you need help setting up your lineups, 844-843-6879 is the number. You could call in. You could reach out to us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. So we teased that we were going to talk about the Bears at the Saints. So I mentioned Mitch Trubisky, quarterback for the Bears, threw 7 passes last week. 4 were caught. And go ahead.
That's bad.
Yeah. The one thing, and you brought this up a couple weeks ago, is that the Bears continued. I don't think they're utilizing Tariq Cohen enough.
No, but, I mean, Trubisky finished 4 pass completions for 107 yards.
And one of them was
to
Tariq
a 70-yarder to Tariq Cohen. But his snaps were still, it decreased this past week.
18.4% of offensive snaps last week.
Yeah.
First 3 weeks, just to give you a description, first 3 weeks he was playing 49.3% of snaps. The following 4 weeks it's down to 26.325%. So and it doesn't make sense because the Bears don't have any wide receivers. And his specialty is being able to catch the ball out of the backfield. Dynamic, being able to be used in different formations and whatnot. It just doesn't make sense.
I get Benny Cunningham is a better pass protector, but come on, John Fox. Obviously, Tariq Cohen is your most explosive player. Mm-hmm. Be creative. If you don't want him coming out of the backfield, though, you're worried about his pass protection, use him in the slot line. Get creative. You find ways to get this kid the ball in space. We see it every time it happens. He has game-breaking ability. 1 catch, 70 yards. Let's not throw the ball to this guy anymore. John Fox is very dumb. He views Mr. Trubisky as Tim Tebow. This is literally what he is doing, is the recipe for when they had Tim Tebow. Run the ball, control the clock, play defense, have your quarterback throw as little as possible. I don't think it's possible to throw more, less passes than Trubisky did just a
week
ago.
That's a good point. It's a good comparison.
And I said it, though, this week on BFFs. I think Trubisky does have value. It's not in himself, and it's not in anyone that he's throwing the ball to. It's in Jordan Howard.
Right.
The fact that Trubisky can, one, pick up some yards with his legs. Two, he has a better pocket presence than Mike Glennon. He's not getting sacked and fumbling the ball, and he's not turning the ball over. I mean, in fact, he's had just one interception in his three starts. The fact that he is able to take care of the ball and do the bare minimum that John Fox is asking allows the Bears to play defense, keep the games close. I mean, you look at it. They've lost the first game by a field goal. They won their second game he started by a field goal. And then this past week, two defensive touchdowns, and they win. So it's not great. It's not pretty by any means. But it allows them to allow Jordan Howard to run the ball 20-plus times. And if you're a Jordan Howard owner, you have to be very happy.
2 weeks ago, it was like 30-some-odd times, right?
Yeah.
And you mentioned BFFs. So why don't you give yourself a little plug? On 5 days a week, 11 a.m. Eastern time. You're on 8 a.m. Pacific time, drive time, right? And it's also broadcasted on the Fantasy Sports Network's YouTube channel, so people get to take a look at you.
Oh, yeah. And if you will go to the YouTube page, I do want to promote this. Frank Stanfill and I this week did our very first Power Hour.
Oh, is that the one where you're taking shots of beers?
Yep,
I was watching players, part of that. I was able
minutes.
To watch some of that.
Did
great
you enjoy
stuff.
It?
Yes.
We did 60 players in 60 minutes, and every minute Frank and I did a shot of beer. So at the end of it, we did 5 beers in an hour, 60 players, 60 minutes. It was a lot of fun. Hopefully you can go and watch it.
Yeah, definitely worth watching. Greg Sussman hosts the show. Eric Young joins you most days of the week.
NXT wrestler Eric Young is a co-host on the BFF, so you got to love it.
And the show you were talking about, the Power Hour, Jake Seeley was there. Was he drinking?
He was drinking water. He can't hang. I mean, he brings great football knowledge, but he can't hang with Frank and I.
All right. Well, you guys are just too tough. That's all. So in terms of the Bears, basically, I mean, Howard obviously is someone that you could start. Zach Miller. I mean, the Saints are actually pretty decent against the tight end.
And the two games prior to last week when he had touchdowns, one was deflected in the end zone, bounced up, and he caught it, and the other one was a throw from Tariq Cohen.
Right.
So I'm not – those are fluky.
Yeah,
I'm not
Saints
trusting those.
Saints have just 18 receptions to tight ends this season. So although he's an option you know, going forward, I mean, he's a lower-end option. There's been some issues with the tight end position overall. So if you need help, he is someone that you can – he's probably available for you on the waiver wire, but – not your best option. And Saints defense has been playing a lot better. We talked about that in the past, right? Also, Mark Ingram. Man, this guy has just revitalized since Adrian Peterson is gone, right?
Yeah, and I said it this week. I think he's right in that group. Their top running backs are, in no particular order, Bell, Zeke, Freeman, Fournette, Hunt. I'm missing one more. And then it's Mark Ingram. So I truly think that's, like, he's right in that group, right behind the top six guys.
You mentioned Gurley?
Gurley, that's the one I'm missing.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, since Adrian Peterson got traded 2 weeks ago, 3 touchdowns, averaged over 23 carries per game and 109 rushing yards per game as well. So, and New Orleans is running the ball a little bit more this season compared to last season, right? 63% compared to 57%. So, and another guy that I think he's also, you could start him, is rookie Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, I think Kamara is a running back two every single week. One thing on Mark Ingram that I don't think people realize is he catches a ton of balls out of the backfield himself. Has 4 more receptions in every game but one so far this season. Alvin Kamara, though, since they've traded AP, has seen 9 carries in one game, 10 in the other, 5 catches, 3 catches. He, like you said, Joey, he has value both in standard and PPR. I think he comes in most weeks as a low-end RB2 with a lot more upside.
And specifically, you're right, I think he has value in both scoring formats, but in PPR, 4 straight weeks of double-digit fantasy points in PPR formats. So,
yeah, I have him as a high-end RB2 this week. And I have Mark Ingram, like I said. I have him currently 6. I think you could make the case. Like, I know Frank has him ahead of Kareem Hunt. I don't have that just yet, but you could certainly make that case.
So how does the – looks like Willie Snead is going to be able to play this week. How do you think that affects Ted Ginn?
I don't think it affects him all too much. Mm-hmm. I think Ted Ginn is still, they're going to take their shots down the field with him.
Spree's basically, he's famous for spreading the ball around, right? I mean, Michael Thomas obviously is going to be the number one guy, but it's kind of hit or miss with the rest of them.
I don't want to trust Willie Snead. Mm-hmm. I think he is, his role that he was in last year, they simply don't need him to do that again. Plus, Drew Brees, take it for what it's worth, but he was talking to Brandon Coleman yesterday and saying that that is their go-to red zone option.
Coleman?
Yes.
Okay. Fleener, yeah. 5 catches in his last 4 games, tight end for the Saints. Fade him. Fade him. We'll be back with more on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Panthers at Bucks. Going to be some high winds in that game. Lots of weather that we have to talk about as well coming up on the Weekend Fantasy Update.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network Weekend Fantasy Update. Joe Galita, Mike Florio, Pete Consadori producing our show. And kind of talked about that there's some weather that's going to be affecting some games this week, Mike. Looks like a pretty severe rainstorm in the upper northeast.
Yeah, I'll tell you a game that might be affected. My softball game.
You're going to be playing in the mud. You're going to be looking out the window with tears coming down your eyes.
Probably saying, looking out
I
the window.
Go play.
This is a makeup game for us. We tried playing in the rain 1 week, Joey, and then it got so bad the ump was like, it's a puddle of mud. You guys can't play.
We have a call actually. Jay from Mississippi has a flex question for us. Jay, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on?
Not much. How you doing, Jay?
Pretty good, pretty good. Like you said, I have a flex question. I got Funchess, Fuller, Smallwood, and Dobson. And I also have, I got Blunt on the 2 number one running back. I pretty much got him locked in, but out of those 4, who are the best 2? Because I kind of want to go Blunt and Smallwood, but I don't know. Who do you think the best 2 out of those 4?
So you need 2 out of Funchess, Fuller, Smallwood, Dachson, and Blunt?
Well, I kind of got Blunt in. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm. I think LeGarrette Blunt is the must play of this bunch. After that, is this PPR or standard?
It's standard. Like I say, I want to know out of, Funchess and Dachson and because I got Blunt in there. Maybe I could go Blunt and Smallwood as one of the other options, you know.
Hmm. To me, it comes down between Smallwood and Funchess. Yeah. I like Dachson, but his ceiling is kind of high, but the floor is not low enough where I would trust him over these other guys.
I kind of like Funchess. He's been getting you could disagree with me if you like, but he's been getting almost 9 targets per game over the last 5 games. I'd like to see him catch more of his targets the last couple weeks. He had a case of the drops, right? 40% catch rate. But he does lead the Panthers in red zone targets, and Buccaneers have had a kind of a soft defense against wide receivers. I know a lot of it has been part due to injuries, but I don't know. I mean,
I will go with Funchess because mm-hmm. in a standard league, you're really trying to find the guy who gives you the best chance at scoring a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, the targets, the red zone targets, that's all there for Funchess. I think as the Eagles get close to the goal line, we've seen it all year. That's LeGarrette Blunt's role.
Yeah.
But in a PPR, I would go Smallwood. But again, it's very close for me. I like both of these guys. The 49ers, Joey, in the last month have allowed over 400 rushing yards and receiving yards to running backs. So that's, on average, over 100 rushing yards per game and over 100 receiving yards per game to running backs. There's obviously going to be a factor, a role for Smallwood in this game. I have him as a top 24 RB this week, especially in PPR. But since you're looking for the touchdown, I'll go with Devin Funchess.
All right, Jay, thanks for calling in, and good luck to you this week. And you could call in as well, 844-843-6879. Again, you could reach out to us on Twitter as well, at FNTSY Radio. And your softball game is rained out. And you said that, I know that you said that Frankie and Greg aren't getting up for tomorrow morning's game, are you?
Yeah, yeah. If I'm not, I'm going to watch it. And when I play softball, I have it up on my phone, and while I'm in the dugout, I watch it. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not playing that tomorrow, I will certainly be watching this game.
All right. And I want to remind everyone, stay tuned in the next hour. We've got Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press. You can follow him on Twitter, at Dave Burkett. We'll be talking Lions. Lions have a tough matchup against the Steelers. And they're really good pass defense. We'll be back with more on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network Weekend Fantasy Update.